It looks like the corporate marriage proposal is off. Fiat Chrysler announced late last night it's withdrawing from the $37 billion merger deal with Renault, a deal that would have created the world's third largest automaker. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is here to explain just how things went south. Did anyone see this coming?
Yine, I think.
Yine.
in the sense, as the Germans would say, yes and no. Okay. Listen, the elephant in the room in all of this has been the French government, who owns 15% of Renault and clearly is determined to make sure that whatever happens here, Renault ends up just a little bit on top of the whole situation. And as they work together, the companies, and talking to some sources, very high-level sources who are in Paris and were around for this whole thing, they continue to work this what they called a delicate balance between the two companies as they moved ahead with this 50-50 merger. And it seemed like every time they encountered little bumps in the road and then they'd work them out between the two managements, the government representatives would kind of stick their thumb on the scale and say, well, we want another board seat. Well, we want to be on the four-person panel that's going to name the next several CEOs. We think Renault should be getting more money instead of a cash dividend going to FCA shareholders only. And finally, Mike Manley, the CEO, and John Elkann, the chairman of Fiat Chrysler, essentially said, if this is the way this company is going to be run going forward, we're out.
Okay, because remember, you and I talked when this was announced about how poisonous that Daimler-Benz deal was for Chrysler, the merger of equals that sure wasn't. They didn't want to have history repeat itself.
And they made sure that the phrase for merger of equals was nowhere in any of the internal or external paper that they were preparing. Hmm. By some accounts, at least, they were getting along very well here. And the other irony is the French government was then worried about Nissan and the partner of Nissan to Renault when Nissan was never a party to these discussions. And the irony of that is the Nissan people are on the sidelines complaining about the fact that they're not involved, but they're the ones who were resisting Renault's attempt to try and bring the alliance further into a potential merger, because then the Japanese company would be essentially run out of Paris.
Okay.
And they didn't want that.
So there were a lot of movable parts.
So it's
here.
Like, I don't want to be part of you, but I'm mad that you don't have me involved in the discussions with FCA. It's childish, frankly. But ultimately, I think this is a telling point here. The government ownership of some of these companies is a deal killer. I mean, if anybody would go to try to do a deal, a true merger with Volkswagen, the same thing would happen. It's 20% owned by the state of Lower Saxony. They have their own political ends as to why they maintain that stake. And they are safeguarding jobs in their state or in their part of Germany, or in this case, in France. One of the other things they wanted was a guarantee against job cuts in France.
Well, of course, because those French labor unions are powerful, but those are the plants that are running under capacity.
Exactly. You get an A. It's exactly right.
Thank you.
And in Italy, the same thing.
Yeah.
The exact same thing. And the Italians are just as outspoken about closing of plants. So you have two of the worst automakers in terms of underutilized capacity somehow joining forces and saying, we can join forces and save a lot of money, but we're not going to take out any plants or any shifts or any people.
And if you stop and think about merging all of that, wouldn't it be a bloated beast of a company if it didn't have some streamlining and plant closings?
Of course it would. And who would be generating all the cash? The Americans.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Well, all right. So here's a question, Daniel. How worrisome is this for people who get their paychecks because of FCA, the suppliers and the employees of FCA? Can FCA survive without a partner?
Well, they're already saying, yes, we can, which they're going back to the mantra that actually was a Sergio Marchionne mantra and Mike Manley has adopted, which is we can go it alone, but we will always look at opportunities.
Because Marchionne was constantly on the hunt for the right partner.
Yes, in 2015, his Confessions of a Capital Junkie, which was a presentation he made to financial analysts, basically argued that there needed to be consolidation within the industry. There's too much duplication on a lot of things that are not important to customers, not transformative to the business. Like everybody's got a four-cylinder engine, for example. Why do we need everybody making a four-cylinder engine? Can't we combine and have, you know, two four-cylinder engines for the entire world? But a lot of companies say, no, ours is better. Ours is proprietary. We're going to do it our way. So they continue to put money into it. But now, yeah, I don't think there's any question. This was a Marchionne Confessions of a Capital Junkie play. That's what this was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do they start negotiations again with PSA, also a French company? There's little to no government ownership of PSA. I know that the government was winding down their ownership there.
And just remind us who PSA is.
PSA is the maker of Peugeot and Citroën cars. They are not currently in the United States. They are looking at entering the United States market again. They recently bought Opel and Vauxhall from General Motors after 90 years being owned by GM. And in less than 2 years, they turned it around and made it profitable. But some of my sources in Germany that I've talked to recently told me that a lot of the engineering that's in Germany is being hollowed out and being taken back to France.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.